Well, thank you so much, Landon, for that warm greeting. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're looking at 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5. Landon suggested that text to me, and I was happy to preach from it, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5. As you're turning there, let me just say, the privilege and honor is mine. To be with you and to honor Lance today and Maria and their ministry. I was just delighted to be invited and to come. When you think of 10 years of life, we don't know how long life will be, but no matter how long you live, 10 years is a significant period of time. A significant investment in our lives. You think of, as a church, Lance's love, his sacrifice of time, the joys he's experienced with you, and the tears. And Maria, right? Maria's right there with him in all that. That's the way it is if you're married, right? You belong together in this great work. I've talked to Lance from time to time over the years, and I said this a little bit in the Sunday school hour, or whatever you call that hour. People have different names for it, right? But, his godliness, his stability, his wisdom have all struck me. But in a couple conversations I've had with him, I've been so struck by, he loves you, but what I was struck by in my conversations, he loves God's Word. He loves the truth. He's committed to Jesus. His first goal as a pastor is not to please you, but it's to please Christ. And the integrity of that, it just struck me in such a wonderful way. So Lance, I'm so thankful for you, your faithful ministry for 10 years. He was an intern with us at Clifton. That's why we do our internship, right? So that faithful pastors, missionaries, educators, counselors, worship leaders will come out from us. So it's such a joy to be here. I know, Lance has loved you during births, weddings, and sickness, and funerals. He talked about funerals some if you were in Sunday school. He's planned and strategized with other leaders how to lead this congregation. He's loved you. I know this is true, even when you've criticized him, right? Sometimes I say, it's a little dangerous here. I got to look at my phone because that clock's not working. That's a dangerous thing for a preacher, right? Because the clock is just staying the same. I've not even used a single minute yet. So, wow. Okay, here we go. So, and you think, man, he hasn't even started the text yet. But I just want to say to a congregation, and I know I sense that you're a loving congregation, but just remember, I don't think you do this, right? But I always imagine this. Imagine each person in the congregation had one suggestion for the pastor. One suggestion how you can improve, right? That's not much, just one suggestion. But imagine, I know this doesn't happen, but imagine everybody gave that one suggestion. That's pretty overwhelming, right? You get that. Pastors, I talk to a lot of pastors. Lance has never said this to me, right, that you do this, right? But just remember that, right? Remember what it's like to be on his end, because people have lots of ideas. It's not wrong to have ideas. It's not wrong to share them. But do remember what that feels like from the side of the pastor. Well, let's pray as we look at this text together. Father, we pray now that you'd come and you'd help us understand your word. We pray your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start with verse 1. I have various points, but I'll just give them to you as we go. First, the context. The context, and we'll read the verses as we go. The context is in verse 1. Peter says, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Peter says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. So notice here, the exhortation here is to the elders, right? Peter, as an elder, is writing to the elders. Well, the word elders, another word for elders, is the word overseers. Overseers. And actually, you see that in verse 2. He says in verse 2, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing. I mean, that's the participle, right? But there's the word overseer. So there's one word for the pastor, elder, the other, overseers. And then the third word is shepherd. Shepherd. And did you see that in verse 2? You have the verb, shepherd the flock of God. Did you know, a little test here, do you like tests? How many times in the New Testament are the leaders of the church called pastors? No, don't answer. But how many times in the New Testament are leaders of church called pastors? The answer is once. Isn't that amazing? One time in Ephesians 4:11. The usual word for pastors, the one that occurs more than any other, is elders. And then the second most common is overseers. So when you think, and pastor is a fine word in most of our churches in the United States. We use the word pastors, no problem. That's great. But pastors, overseers, elders, they're all the same office. They're all the same thing. That's Lance and Landon, they're pastors. They're overseers. They're elders. You know, if you flip over, you can just listen if you want, but if you flip over to Acts 20, verse 17, we read, now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, and he summoned the elders of the church. So there we see it, elders, Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Then verse 28 says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers. Did you notice that? He summons the elders, but in verse 28 he says, he's appointed you as overseers to shepherd. Now that's the verb, right? But the noun is pastor. Actually, we could translate this word. The noun and the verb could be the same in English, right? We can use the word pastor as a noun or a verb, to shepherd, to pastor the flock. So there we see all three terms. Do you see that? Elders, overseers, pastors, they're all the same office. So it's absolutely right to call them Pastor Lance. But when you read the Bible, recognize that often pastors are described as elders or as overseers. Elder designates what? The dignity of the office. Doesn't necessarily have to be an older man, right? But it represents the dignity, the honor of the office. And then oversee and pastor represent the function, right? Pastors, they oversee, they shepherd, they pastor the flock. We'll talk more about this. Notice what, furthermore in this verse, Peter doesn't exalt himself, does he? Peter doesn't call himself an apostle. Peter doesn't pull an authority trip, does he? He could have, but he emphasizes, I'm a fellow elder. I'm in it with you. And then he talks about Christ's sufferings. I mean, they're all, you know, pastors are all about Christ, what he has done, but why does he mention Christ's sufferings here? I think one reason is to remind the elders the work can be hard. Our Savior suffered. When you're ministering, when you're pastoring, when you're leading, their suffering comes with the job, right? Suffering comes with the ministry. It came for Jesus, so it's going to come for pastors as well. You know, when people are hurting in the congregation, you all hurt, and if it hits your family, you hurt more intensely. But the pastor bears that in a special way, right? Just ministering and caring more directly for you when suffering comes. And then the last thing we see in this verse, right, is there's a great reward. There's a glory about to be revealed. That reward, now there's a reward for all of us, right? But that reward is hidden. It's to be revealed. Since it's going to be revealed, we don't see that reward right now, do we? That reward is coming. We anticipate it. So that's the context. Then secondly, the charge. That's verses 2 and 3. So the context is one thing. The charge, what do I mean by charge? The admonition, the exhortation. What he wants to say to the elders, you know, here it comes. He says, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not out of greed for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So what's the first thing he says? Shepherd God's flock, pastor the flock. He says the elders, the pastors, the overseers. You know something else about this verse that I think is fascinating? It's a very simple thing. Shepherd God's flock. It's not Lance's church, right? It's not Landon's church. Clifton Baptist, where I serve, that's not my church, right? It's God's church. This church, it doesn't belong to any of you in here, right? This is God's church. This church belongs to him. Lance and Landon, they're under shepherds, but they're under the authority of the chief shepherd, the chief overseer, 1 Peter 2, verse 25. So first we see this is God's flock, but then secondly, he says, shepherd that flock. That flock, Acts 20, verse 28, we won't turn there, but that the church, the flock, that's you, the believers, right? God purchased you with the blood of his son, with his own blood. He purchased you. So this flock, this people are greatly loved, and we've sung about that today, haven't we? It's greatly loved by the Lord. But let's think of shepherding, pastoring a little bit. And here, let's turn to John 20. Or you can listen, whatever is easiest for you. John chapter 20, verse 15, when Jesus restores Peter to ministry. And I love this passage, right? Peter's denied Jesus 3 times. Peter's been a coward. That could be the end for him, but Jesus restores him after his resurrection. We won't read the whole story, but we're going to look at verses 15 through 17. In verse 15 of John 21, did I say John 20? John 21. John 21, verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And I think that these would be the fellow disciples, maybe even fishing. Do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs, he told them. Feed my lambs. A second time, Jesus asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love him. Shepherd my sheep. Pastor my sheep. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. So now here's what I want to say. How does Peter feed the sheep? How does Lance feed the sheep? By proclaiming God's word to you. What is the most loving thing Lance does for you? It's not when he meets with you one-on-one in counseling. And that's loving, right? It's when he proclaims God's word to you. That's the most loving thing. Because, you know, that's the one time in the week he's shepherding all of you. All of you, right? Every one of you who's here. He's shepherding you and he's feeding you. What's our food? How do we make it week in, week out? What sustains us? What energizes us? It's God's word. We need God's word. I need it. You need it. We need God's word to encourage us and strengthen us and convict us and correct us and direct us, right? And so that's what Jesus says to Peter. Peter, if you love me, that's going to show up and you feeding my sheep. And I know Lance has done that for you, right? Pray that he'll continue to do that. He has loved you. How has he loved you? By feeding you God's word. Now let's turn to Acts 20. Remember, that's, I already mentioned that passage. That's the passage where Paul talks to the elders of Ephesus. And we don't have time to read that whole thing. But I want to look at just a few verses with you. Verse 20, Paul says to these elders, you know that I did not hesitate to proclaim anything to you that was profitable and to teach you publicly and from house to house. What does he say to the elders? I taught you. I taught you privately. I taught you publicly. Verse 21, I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, he regularly preached the gospel. I want to say, that if you're an unbeliever here today, older person, younger person, child, right? God calls you to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. That's part of what it means, right, to have a faithful ministry. Then look at verse 24. Paul says, the last part of the verse, I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of his grace. And that's what they are to do as well, testify about God's grace. And then verse 25, and now I know that none of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom. There it is again, preaching the kingdom, testifying, preaching, teaching. And then verse 27, he says, I did not avoid declaring to you the whole plan of God. So, you know, that's just another way of saying, what does Paul say to these elders? Testify to the gospel, like I did. Preach the kingdom. Preach the whole plan of God. The whole plan of God is full, isn't it? Preach the whole Bible. And again, that's what Lance has been doing. That's his fundamental primary job. At Clifton Baptist, where I am, of course, I know Lance does this, visits with you, counsels with you, sees you, strategizes with you. But we say to our preaching pastor, we say to him, okay, your number one job is to study God's word hard and preach it to us. That's your number one job, because that's when you're feeding all the sheep, right? So that's your number one responsibility. Yes, he does many other things, but that's what it means to love God and to love you. So pray for Lance every week when he's studying. I take it you do. Do you pray for him? Do you pray God will give him insight and apply the word to your lives? Now, just if we go to Ezekiel 34, you don't need to turn there, but if Ezekiel 34 talks about shepherds, and what do shepherds do? Ezekiel 34, verse 4, they strengthen the weak, They heal the sick. They bandage the injured. They bring back the strays, and they seek the lost, right? And then verse 8 says, shepherds don't feed themselves, but they feed the flock. So yes, what it means to be a shepherd is to care deeply for the sheep. So, yeah, I really lingered on this point, but I'm going to go, if you're worried, I'm going to go faster, you know? So that is Lance's fundamental call, isn't it? To feed you. And I just wanted to remind you, by the way, Lance and I did not talk about what I was going to talk about. He didn't even know I was coming until maybe sometime this week, right? And we had no discussion about what I was going to talk about. So, yeah, probably you didn't think that, but I just want to say that. Now, shepherding, three positives and three negatives about shepherding, right? So this is for Lance and for you to pray for him, obviously for Landon too. So what are these three things? Verse 2, don't shepherd out of compulsion, but because you want to. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:1, if you desire to be an elder, if you desire it. You know, if you were in Sunday school, what did Lance say? God gave him. It's not for everybody, right? God gave him the desire to be a pastor, to be an elder. And what does Peter say here? Don't do it because you have to, but because you want to. You have a desire to do this. Now, Lance obviously has that desire, but guess what? That desire could go down. That desire could vanish, right? And so pray for him that it doesn't. Pray for him that desire stays there, right? By the way, we all have times in our lives when we wish we weren't doing what we are doing, right? If you go through 2 weeks and you wish, or if Lance went through 2 weeks, a month, whatever, maybe even 6 months, I wish I weren't doing this. Then maybe he's never experienced that. I've never asked him that, but that we understand, right? It can happen that way. But if it persists, right? I teach at a seminary. I've been with people in my career who, at the end of their career, they're just teaching for money. It's obvious. They don't like it anymore. You know, they're just doing the job. No, that's not the way a pastor should operate, right? A pastor has to want to do the work. Secondly, not out of greed, but eagerly, not for the sake of money. Again, I've never talked to Lance that I know of. He could correct me, but I'm sure I'm right. We have never talked about his salary. And I'm sure you're a very faithful flock. But I feel very sure in saying he's not in this to get rich, you know? You have a responsibility, of course, to take good care of him, right, as a congregation. That's a responsibility of the congregation to take care of Lance and his family. But we've never spoken of this. But again, it could creep into his heart, right? Their greed can come in. You know, a greed may not be there when a young man's 25 or 35 or 40, but it could arise at 45, 50, 55. So again, take good care of him financially. It's not your job to keep him poor, right? Take good care of their family, but also pray for him that eagerness to serve will continue. And then it says, not lording it over those who are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, you know, I mean, honestly, when I look at this text, does Lance want to do this? Yes. Is Lance greedy? I just can't see that. Is Lance a bully, right? No, I mean, no. He's just not that type, right? I mean, but these warnings are there, right? that there are bully pastors, right, out there, sadly. But I think, I know you'd all say with me, no, that's not Lance. But look, he could become that, right? Seems unlikely, but he's, to my mind, he's very young. But let's just say he's relatively young, you know? Who knows what he'll be like in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? People can change. So again, it's a call for you to pray for him, right? Pray for him, and then I just feel confident of saying what are pastors to be? Examples of being godly, right? You know, what does it mean to be godly? It means, you know, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, we don't have time to look at those today, but being patient, right? Being gentle, being kind, having a good marriage, being a good husband, a good father. Not perfection, right? Because if it's perfection, all of us would have to resign, right? Not perfection, but there's a pattern in his life, right? There's a characteristic in his life. There's an evident godliness there. Not perfect, but what does Paul say? But without reproach. He's living a life that is truly pleasing to the Lord. But again, you know, we're honoring Lance's 10th year, but I just view this as an opportunity to say again, pray for that. Pray. I know you do, but maybe not all of you do. Pray for his godliness. Pray that he'll become more like Jesus. Pray that he'll become even more wise, more godly. And of course, you pray that for yourself, right? But also pray that for Lance. And pray for Maria. She has a unique role as Lance's wife. Pray for their kids. Pray for their salvation. So we've seen the context, right? We've seen the charge. And then verse 4, I tried to do all C's, but it didn't work, right? I called verse 4 compensation. I was like, well, I don't love that word for verse 4. So the reward, verse 4. What's the reward? And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So I just say again, who's in charge of this church? The chief shepherd. It's not Lance. It's not Landon. It's not other leaders. It's not deacons. It's Jesus. Jesus is the chief shepherd. He's the one in charge. He rules this church. This church doesn't belong to any particular person. You know, there are churches, sometimes my students go into churches and they find out, hey, nothing happens in this church because so-and-so, he basically runs this church and he gets his way on everything, right? Well, that's not pleasing to God, is it? Because that person has taken the role that Jesus has, and Jesus and his word, that's the authority. Lance isn't the authority. Landon's not the authority. It's Jesus Christ who's the authority and his word. But when the chief shepherd appears, he's coming, right? Jesus is coming back. He's going to appear. We don't know when, but what does the New Testament say? Be ready. Be ready. It's going to happen, right? What does 2 Peter say? People say, well, it hasn't happened for a long time. So it's not going to happen, but it will happen. Jesus is coming back. Jesus, and we're to pray, come Lord Jesus, the end of the book of Revelation. When he appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. All of us will be rewarded with eternal life, but there's a special reward for pastors, right? He will receive the unfading crown of glory. James chapter 3, verse 1 says pastors have a stricter judgment too. But also there's a reward. God is good, right? God is fair. God is just. God says to those who are faithful, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. We don't work fundamentally for a reward, and every reward is a gift of grace, isn't it? Any reward we receive is finally a gift of grace, but there is a reward. We do have to know our work matters, don't we? We do have to know that it makes a difference what we're doing in life. The decisions we make, the decisions Lance makes, the decisions you make, they have consequences, don't they? They have eternal consequences. Isn't that great to know? Life isn't trivial. The decisions you make, they matter. The decisions you make when no one's watching, God's watching, they matter at the end of the day. So there's a reward. Praise God, there's a reward for faithful service. And then verse 5, lastly, there's a response. In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud. He quotes Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34 here. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So what is the congregation called upon to do? What is to be your inclination? Well, we actually see this in Hebrews as well, right? What does Peter say here? He says, submit. Or Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. You know, that word submission is not a very popular word today, right? I don't think it's ever been very popular, but it's not very popular today. There are times where we're not to submit to leaders, right? If they call upon us to sin, we shouldn't submit to that. If a leader calls upon us to do something wrong, that doesn't mean we can't express our opinion to leaders. That doesn't mean that there's not a place to disagree. But what is Scripture saying here to you as a congregation? Your inclination is to be humble and to follow the leadership of your pastors. You know, I could say at Clifton Baptist, we have, because I've been at Clifton now for 24 years, we have such peace in our congregation right now, and we're not perfect as elders. I'm one of the elders, but our congregation is inclined, and I take it that's true here too, our congregation is inclined to follow our leadership, unless there are good reasons not to. And that's a very happy state of affairs, right? And so that's what Peter's calling upon the church to do here. Young people especially, maybe if you're young, you're like, I want to resist, you know? Young people can be strong, but be clothed with humility. And humility says, you know, I might be wrong. You know, something came up in our elder meeting the other night, and my first inclination was, I don't agree with that. You know, our staff elders were suggesting something, but I just said to myself, hold your fire inside. Don't say anything. Let the conversation play out. And you know, as it played out, I thought, you know, I think I'm wrong on this. I think it's okay. I think I do agree, you know? And I think God is calling us, right? Let's not just immediately fire away in our hearts when leaders propose something. Let's be inclined, right? You as a congregation, be inclined to follow the leadership of Lance and Landon. That's a happy state of affairs. So I just close by saying I'm just so delighted to be here and to see a fruitful ministry for 10 years, to see from everything I can see a loving and committed congregation. May the Lord continue to bless you in remarkable ways as a church and as a body. And as you said in Sunday school, you know, pray, let's pray that this church has filled, you know, with more disciples of Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for your word that speaks of every matter of what it means to be disciples of Jesus. And Lord, I just give thanks today for Lance and Maria and for their family. Thank you for 10 years of faithful and loving service. Thank you for Lance's commitment to Jesus, for his love for the Word of God, his commitment to it. Lord, thank you that he loves this flock and he's given himself to it. Lord, we just pray now, all of us together, Lord, preserve him, keep him, strengthen him, help him not to wander from you, help him to be faithful to the end. And Lord, we just pray as well that great fruit would take place through this church, that the disciples would be built up, that more would be saved, and that Lance would just continue in the faithful ministry that he's exercised so far. So we commend him to you, Lord, and to the word of your grace. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.